I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, another one of those sports I've never been tempted to try, cliff diving. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Weenie.
I opened the door, you walked through.
No, I mean, that's one of the ones I like to refer to as Wide World of Sports.
There it is.
Remember Jim McKay?
I do.
He used to have target diving in Las Vegas
the
and cliff diving.
The agony of defeat.
And figure eight racing from Islip, New York.
According to published reports,
sports!
Bill Burke, the man who founded the Los Angeles Marathon, has offered $1.2 billion to buy the Dodgers. The deal would be a record for a major league franchise and would have to be approved by MLB and the court overseeing the bankruptcy of the Dodgers. Do you think Mr. Burke realizes he's bidding for a bankrupt franchise?
Well, I think the bankruptcy is purely a legal device at this point. The Dodgers are still a pretty valuable property. I think maybe, first of all, a couple of questions have to be asked. The first thing, how does a guy who founded the Los Angeles Marathon have $1.2 billion to bid for the Los Angeles Dodgers, you say? Ha! I have an answer. There are foreign investors, and according to the story on the bid, specifics weren't given on the foreign investors, except to characterize them as, quote, certain state-owned investment institutions of the People's Republic of China. First of all, are there any investment institutions in the People's Republic of China that aren't state-owned?
I'm not sure how thoroughly we want to investigate.
We might want to vet this one pretty carefully.
Good news. Ace Steven Strasburg is ready to return to the Washington Nationals after Tommy John surgery. And really, the Nats have plenty of time to turn their season around.
He should not be returned to the major leagues this soon after Tommy John surgery for a team that is little more than a AAA team itself.
The NFL preseason is officially complete. We were warned, Charlie, that after a summer without contact between coaches and players and the end of two-a-day practices, teams would not be prepared for the preseason, let alone the regular season. Are those warnings turning out to be correct?
No, the preseason turned out to be just about as essentially worthless as an act of consumer fraud as it would be whether or not they had a lockout. Peyton Manning is probably not going to start at the beginning of the season. That wouldn't have changed. The lockout has no effect on whether or not he plays. I mean, the Lions look extraordinarily good right now, but that doesn't mean anything because a few years ago they looked extraordinarily good in the exhibition season and won two games. So I think in the long view, in a couple of years when they look down the line, they're going to discover that not very much was lost by the lockout.
The sanctions against various Miami football players who benefited from the generosity of convicted felon Nevin Shapiro have begun. Do the punishments, which mostly seem to consist of short suspensions and giving the money back, fit the crimes?
Well, I think for the moment they do. I think that the real 9,000-pound dung bomb is going to get dropped in this program down the line. But I think for the moment, the University of Miami could have been tougher, but I think everybody in the world knows what's coming, and I'm not going to be too outraged that the original sanctions aren't tough.
On Wednesday, Wade Belloc, late of the NHL's Nashville Predators, was found dead in Toronto, apparently a suicide. He was 35. Along with Rick Rippian and Derek Bogard, Belloc is the third player or former player who could be characterized as an enforcer to have died since May. The league says they will investigate whether these deaths are in any way related, but do you expect anything to come out of that sort of investigation?
I certainly hope so, because this is now officially a trend. I think that when you get slotted into being a goon or an enforcer, I think that you are, to an extent, dehumanized. And so are the people you're supposed to be enforcing whatever it is you're enforcing against. I think you're encouraged to think of your fellow players as less than human. I think you're encouraged to think of yourself as less human than a weapon. I think this is a psychology that once you leave the game, there's no place for it in the civilized world. And I think, yes, this is something hockey ought to look at very seriously.
Last week's reprise of Stories Past, having provided each of us with time off, you and I have not spoken since Pat Summitt, the extraordinarily accomplished coach of the women's basketball team at Tennessee, revealed that she has early onset Alzheimer's disease. How do you feel about her decision to continue coaching?
I love it. The one thing, and I have a particularly nasty dog in this fight. My father succumbed to it, as did all four of his siblings. One of the biggest changes in public awareness in Alzheimer's is the fact that people who are diagnosed are now coming forward and describing their experiences while they're still capable of doing so. If Pat Summitt wants to go out there and say, look, I have early onset Alzheimer's, I'm on a therapy, I can still coach my basketball team, God bless her. There is no team I am rooting for in the world more than I am rooting for the Tennessee Volunteers this year.
Lots of athletes and former athletes have attempted to increase their celebrity value by dancing with the stars on TV. Charlie, next season's roster of athletes turned hoofers was revealed this week. How do you like the lineup?
I will bet you all the money in my pocket right now, which is about 85 cents, that Hope Solo is in the finals of Dancing with the Stars next year. I would guarantee. I think that's the easiest bet on the board anywhere. As for Ron Artest, be generous with your marks because, you know, monitor screens have been known to fly.
Doesn't take criticism well. And finally, Charlie, and don't say sports because this is a sports story.
There's no question.
Have you something to say about the $400 billion plan to build a mountain in the Netherlands?
Well, at least if the dikes fail, they'll all have some place to go.
Get
now.
To the high ground.
Go to the high ground. We have it now. Yes, apparently Dutch skiers and snowboarders, of which there are at least 12 apparently, have been complaining because they don't have any mountains. So a design company has designed up plans, and the Dutch are going to build a mountain. It is going to take $400 billion and 30 years. Can they at least find a molehill?
This is the Dutch version of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, which they'll be building long after.
There are 13 people in America who just got that joke. It's wonderful.
Public radio. Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America, among other books. He joins me each week at this time on Only a Game. Thank you, Charlie.
That's a lot of tulips for $400 billion.
First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain.